In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you're all here this morning as we gather together to worship God in this season. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside of the aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. And we'd love it if you would include contact information or any notes that you would like us to see and follow up with as we continue to grow in community together. Please feel free to join us in a time of fellowship with coffee and refreshments in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the worship service. We welcome all of you there. We are still looking for welcome loaves to welcome our visitors. So if you have been visiting with us and have not yet been properly welcomed with one of our baked loaves, we apologize, but we hope that those of you who are bakers will get on that and bring some loaves to share in these new as we move forward from here. Please do keep in mind that next Sunday is daylight savings time. Can't remember whether it's on or off, but you get an extra hour of sleep, so you need to set your clocks back, or you will be setting up coffee hour next week because you'll be so early. So please make note of that as you ready for into this week. Next Sunday is Pastor Medhat's last Sunday with us, and we are going to have a special coffee hour time to say goodbye to him. And because of that, we will not have the college fellowship brunch because we want our college students to be part of that goodbye and not separated out from us as well. So please make note of that, and if you would like to bring something for that, we would appreciate that as well. There is a calendar in your bulletin that gives you the activities that are happening in the life and ministry of this congregation, which you can also find on our webpage and usually posted on our Facebook page as well, things that are upcoming. So please take a note of that, particularly as things are shifting in these days. I would like to say a special word of thanks to all of those who made the Fall Festival happen yesterday on a glorious day. I think everyone who came had a wonderful time being together and joining in all kinds of activities, and thanks to the wide variety of folks that made that happen yesterday. Are there other announcements this morning that people would like to add?
Again, I do want to thank everyone that came out to the Fall Festival and all those who helped make it possible. It was a really wonderful time of fellowship and just getting together with everyone. You may have noticed in the foyer, if many of you came through the front entrance, a giant turkey on the wall. It's not there just for fun. We also, during the festival, a lot of the kids wrote on feathers things that they are thankful for. And I'd like to ask any Sunday school teachers that are here, if you are teaching today, if there are a few students who weren't able to come yesterday, so if you could grab some feathers and have your kids fill one out during Sunday school, that would be really great so that we can have a full fan of feathers to display during this time. Thanks.
Work on making more feathers available. So,
This is for you youth out there. This is way in the future, but I want to get this in your heads. January 10th, we're going to see the Providence Bruins hockey. More information will be following. Check with me. I'll have a sign up in the back in the Hope Room, but save the date.
January 10th. The psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord. With hearts full, then let us come to worship God.'" God calls us to claim the power of forgiveness. As we confess our sins, we are forgiven and transformed. In openness to God's grace, let us come to pray our prayer of confession this day, first in silence and then praying together as it is printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Lord of all, the demands of your righteousness are too hard for us to fulfill alone, so we rush off with this excuse and ignore your law. You forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more, and we abuse this freedom as if it were a license to selfishness, self-indulgence, and self-righteousness. You give us the gift of grace, atonement in the blood of your Son, yet we make it cheap without serious repentance. We fail to see the power of your faithfulness. We are your people, but do we know you as our God? Forgive our Lord the sins we know in our heart. Save us, Lord, from the sins we hide. Our song of confession is verse 4 of Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, number 210 in the large hymnal. Please remain seated as we sing together. Great is the mercy of our Lord, new every morning. Friends, I declare to you, in Christ we are forgiven. Let us live as a people who so believe. Amen.
Thank you. Now it's time to, excuse me, now it's time to share our joy and concern together and to the Lord.
I'd like prayers for Walter's 98-year-old sister, Evelyn, who is in Rhode Island Hospital with pneumonia, and also continued prayers for Walter.
We're happy that Jamie's been home for a long weekend and that college is going well, and Dylan's birthday is on Tuesday, and she's turning 15, so we're really happy for her life and grateful to God for her.
I have a joy. My friend Marlena, who I asked for prayers for a few weeks ago, who is pregnant with her third child, had suffered a few miscarriages beforehand, just had her ultrasound and saw the baby's heartbeat is very strong. Everything's going well, so just asking for some more continued prayers that this pregnancy continues and is a healthy baby.
I have a joy. I have accepted a job after I finish my PhD, so I'm going to be moving to Houston, Texas, so I want to thank everyone who's been supporting me in all the prayers, so thank you.
A joy and a concern. But well done.
Some of you may have heard about the teacher who was killed in the school in Danvers, Massachusetts. And I found out yesterday that my really good friend Christina, who some of you have met, she's been here before, she was really good friends with the mother of the boy who committed the act. And there's just a lot of unanswered questions, and I think Christina's going to be going to spend some time with the mom as they do the investigation just to try to figure out what went wrong and why that had to happen. So please pray for that family and Christina as she supports them.
I have a joy. After a long search, my partner Jay found a job. He started this week and he loves it, so very happy.
Our family would like to have the joy and thankfulness to share. My wife, Elena, is expecting it. Family is hoping for another member someday. So we'd like to say thank you and a joy.
Like you say, short joy today.
Lots of joy. We like lots of joy.
Let us pray. Creator and creating God, you come into this world again and again to redeem and sustain, to bring life and hope, justice and peace. And you call us to be witnesses and disciples of this grace we have received from you. We bring our prayers to you this day for a world in need, for communities seeking to rebuild and live in faith, for those who lack the basic necessities of life and struggle for each day. We pray for those in recovery and those seeking employment, for encouragement and strength and opportunity day by day. Help us ever, O God, to be mindful of our blessings, to be a people who celebrate our joys together in community. We give thanks for the Fall Festival gathering and welcome yesterday, for times of fun and fellowship and all who made it possible. We give thanks for Dylan's birthday this week and Jamie's time home this week. For new pregnancies that are moving along well, we pray for Marlena and for Elena. We thank you, God, for the gift of new jobs and the hope that that provides for those who search. We thank you for the opportunity that Diane will have in Houston for Jay's new job. We lift in prayer this day, O God, those who are in need of your healing presence, for Jahada and Shirley recuperating from surgery, for Rebecca Spader with new chemo ahead, for Evelyn and Joe's mother with pneumonia, for Walter. We pray, O Lord, this day as well for families and communities in grief near and far away, for the families involved in the teacher's killing and the grief in Danvers, for the Bryant College community in the loss of freshman student Cristiano this week in that auto accident, this family and parents weekend there, and for all who minister to these folks in times of grief. We pray, O Lord, this day for our church and the larger church, seeking ever to be a witness near and far to the power and the grace of your love. Be with us, we pray, as we enter into another season of transition. Help us to attend to the opportunities before us and to be wise as we seek to live into the future you have for this, your church. We thank you for those who lead and answer your call to teach, to be in mission, to be in care for this community ever seeking to reach outward. We pray this day, O Lord, for the Kago Machiri family, for news soon of embassy approval on the adoption, and for a November court date, we pray. We pray for students in our midst, college and at all levels of learning, particularly in this time of midterms. Grant us your grace, O God, in big and small ways as we live as your disciples, taking the message of grace and love to the ends of the earth. For it is in your name and power we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd like to call forward the children for the children's message this morning, which is being brought this morning by Melody Ward. If she can get out of her pew. Come on up.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sophie. Good morning, good morning. How's everybody feeling this morning? Good, I'm feeling good too. Look at what I have today. I always have something in a basket. What is this? And when you lay your head on the pillow, how do you feel? You feel sleepy? Does a pillow bring you comfort? It does. I feel happy too when I lay on my pillow. What's this? Blanket makes you feel how? Warm. It makes me feel comfortable when I have my blanket. What's this? It's a book. It's one of my favorite books. It's one of my daughter's favorite books. When I read, I also sometimes feel really comfortable. I got one more. My doll also makes me feel comfortable. So all these things are things that make us feel comfortable. Do you have anything in your life that makes you feel happy and comfortable and peaceful? What do you have? Say that loud.
God.
Amen, God.
My family.
Your family.
My house.
God, family, house.
Friends.
Friends. What else? Got anything that makes you happy? Comfortable, peaceful? God, family, friends. Wow, guys. That's exactly the things that make me happy. Except there's one other thing that makes me really happy. It's coffee in the morning. Coffee in the morning. Coffee in the morning. So sometimes there are things that make us comfortable and feel at peace that we can't feel, that we can't see, and that we can't touch, right? And that's God. Do you remember the song Miss Gina's been teaching us? He's got the whole world in his hands. Remember that one? Okay, well, guess what? We're going to say a special prayer, and you're going to hear it. You won't see me, but I want you to close your eyes and listen really, really closely. Are you ready? You ready? Okay. Dear God, this morning we hear you and feel you in the birds, in the breeze, and in the beauty of the trees and the sky. We love you for your quiet, comfort, and peace. We thank you for everything. Amen. Can I hear it? Amen. Have a good time in Sunday school.
Good morning. The Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 131, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. And the New Testament lesson is from John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 25 to 31. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. As we reach the last psalm before I leave next Sunday, is I like to close the series we start about the journey with the Psalm 131. It's really a very short one, but it's really a very deep one. You can see only three verses, but there is a lot we can learn from this wonderful and deep thing. And I think it's really fit to an end of a period in my life and in your life as a church, as we are coming close, just 1 week ahead of us, to say goodbye. While we're closing one chapter in our life as an individual and as a congregation, we are opening to a new life and to a new adventure and to a new direction we can see God is leading us. And as I see this psalm is reflection on how we all as a human being, we have learned very early, by choice or by not our choice, that nothing is perfect in life. And especially as a human being, anything related to us, we have to have the space to know there is imperfect things coming to us as a human being. We learn this lesson through harsh experience we often have in our life, by being aware of our limitations, of our imperfect life. And what comes with this life sometimes, it's not only joy, but sometimes sorrows. Unfortunately, not only the life of a newborn or a new beginning, but sometimes it's an end to a life. And with all this bad and good side of our life, sometimes we could be paralyzed by this news. Some people see the hard side of life and they choose to be paralyzed by the fallen part of our humanity. And therefore, they like to see God as sometimes as merciless, unreadable, and terribly distant from them. Or even sometimes they see God as unkind. And Psalm 131 is about a new way to see a new things. And this psalm, as they call this sermon, as a harbor of peace, to tell us about the troubled soul in the water and the stormy seas is running to try to find a place. We cannot see and understand a lot from only three verses, but we know the psalmist or David wrote his way of trying to deal with life. When the image we can see about weaned child, may we have more experience of the world than a nursing child. Maybe a nursing child still 100% depend on the mother in everything. But as an adult, he's going back to review his life to see, after he finished to be depending on his mom for 100%, he learned can still be close to his mom, but in a different way. He still can feel the warm and the link with his mom, not only through her nutrition, but also through the warmth of her heart. The psalmist is telling us about how many times in our life, in verse 1, told us that he is humble and meek, and he chose the way of life, not like others who decide to live as arrogant and ignorant. The other people decide to be arrogant because they believe the higher you are, the better you feel. And they are also ignorant because they thought they can know everything by their limited minds. And he's saying, my eyes is not that high, my heart is not that high. And this thing I can understand as a Middle Eastern, this really, it's when you put your head down, it's a sense of really being humble and being really open to accept help. And I always, the image came to my mind is when I stood in front of my grandmother. I could not put my head up when I stood in front of her. My head has to be down. It means I know I did something wrong. I know I am vulnerable here, and I cannot stare. Even this way of culture sometimes put me in trouble after I came to U.S. as not being looking forward to people and put my eyes into their eyes, and people think this is I'm ignoring them or that I'm not really caring about the conversation. But it's really about sometimes when you think about people older than you or higher than you, that's the way of respect. And maybe that has something with this ancient culture of coming to God with this humble heart, not acting as a full of confidence of him or herself, but coming with being vulnerable and saying, I know I have no power, but I'm here to learn. I'm here to listen. So that's why I know I cannot understand everything, and I know I cannot control everything. I know I'm vulnerable, but I'm here to understand. And in verse 2, we see the result of his way of life, his being humble and meek and vulnerable. Many biblical scholars believe this psalm is used during the exile, but it could be used also around David's time. And I think if we read this psalm in the light of David's story, then we can understand this psalm better. Remember, David was promised to have a good future, but at this moment, he wasn't there yet. He was really just a young guy, the youngest one of his family, just having the worst job as being a shepherd in his culture. So he was really the one marginalized compared to the rest of his family. David was persecuted from his own family. One of the stories tells us in the Old Testament about when God said, I promise you, you will be the next king. You will be the one to rule my kingdom. And his oldest brother made fun of him because he wasn't even physically fit and be better than his brothers. And the complaining why, how he could be the one chosen and not us. David was persecuted from his own family, friends. He couldn't even be fully in friendship with his best friend, the son of the king. And plus the old troubles we know about with King Saul. In many occasions, he needed to run away like a thief or a murderer. And if you are running away with the feeling you did something wrong, that sometimes actually comfort. But if you are run away with the sense of being innocent, this is the most terrible feeling you can have. David learned to feel angry, and we can see that in many psalms when he reflected his wonder and anger and anxious. When David faced a challenge or a change later in his life, he learned there is another way to react to life and to reality. He somehow find a way in the middle way to reconcile with some hard realities in life. Maybe he gave up to struggle because he became older or wiser. Or he became tired. He's like hitting his head into the wall all the time and find there is no result. Maybe I should try really trust God. Maybe I should try to head in a different direction to see maybe I can find a place of comfort and peace. He has come closer to God through many discouragements. He stopped to act if he was in control of everything. And the image we see here, very deep and strong image we see in the psalm, is the weaning child. The psalmist has silenced and calmed down his soul. He has put an end to a loud complaints. He put an end to maybe this is a dead road. Maybe I need to turn around and find a different way. But before that, it has to be a lot of adjustment before you reach the moment of being calm and peaceful and really in a better place. Unfortunately, this just doesn't happen in 1 second. It takes a while. We didn't know even when this was written. It was really after many years or a year, a month, a week. But this is the real life. And here we can see the psalmist experience the serenity in the middle of his crisis. And as a great theologian like Reinhold Niebuhr said, our humanity is the link between two worlds, the material one and the spiritual world. And people of faith who choose to be between these two worlds, they are going to go through a lot of challenge because they do not belong to only to one world. And we all need to remember how to deal with our broken world and to remember to refresh our soul through repentance and to start anew, to experience God's grace through being humble. Repentance is not just only to turn around and stuck there. It's to turn around and to keep moving forward. And the only way we can really nurture the value of repentance is to be in a community of believers, in a church, in a group when we can grow together as a society. To express repentance is not just an empty words, is not just a very intense emotional moment. It's a real act. And we are here together to remember each other. We belong to the community of God. The story of the psalm, in my own opinion, is like a sailor in a stormy sea. And in the middle of this, of the fight with the wind, he or she is dying to find an island to get some rest and peace. And to get some energy, not to stay on the island, not to sleep there and just to make it his home, but to get some energy to remember there is a journey we need to continue on. Our soul is like this struggling sailor, and the sea is our life that sometimes calm and the next time is very stormy. And the wind is like the different forces that push us in different directions. Are we fully spiritual, fully material, and all these really difficult to make the balance and to belong to two worlds? Sometimes they are in fight, not always in harmony. How to find this place of in the middle that gives us the peace and the serenity? We have people who learned how to control their rebellious soul in the whole New and Old Testament. And just to remember you about heroes of our faith who really learned how to control their souls. Abraham, when Abraham was tempted by a lot of money, was offered by the king of Sodom. And Abraham refused and said, if you give me your money, people will know you make me rich. But I want my blessing and prosperity to come from my God. Another example of a soul that really sailed a lot and really passed many exams, Joseph in the Old Testament. When he was tempted by the woman in the palace, and he controlled his physical need. He answered, how I can make this evil act, and in some translation, and upset my loved God. Joseph also came into a wonderful destination when he showed how his soul passed a great exam when he didn't react to his brothers with revenge. It's a great temptation when we can just act on what we feel. But it's better to act on what's really good for us because we belong to two worlds. He offered love and not hate. He offered help and not struggle. And Daniel in the Old Testament, we see an example of a great soul that passed the temptation of power, authority, to be a very important man in the whole kingdom in a foreign land. When the king offered it to him, he refused. Beside all these biblical examples, do not forget the great example, Jesus Christ, who have been into heaven and humble and with really great attitude came to our earth. And coming closer to our modern time, the great Russian writer Tolstoy who was very rich and passed the temptation of controlling or being controlled by materials and especially by money. When he used his money to help the poor and open a school to educate his farmers, to power them and not to control them. And coming to an end was a great Palestinian poet by name Mahmoud Darwish, who passed the temptation of hate to others. I can tell you when you read to this man, if I took his name away, sometimes you assume he's Christian or Muslim or a Jewish. Sometimes you cannot tell what's really his nationality because he learned from his experience and his struggle to think about others. The biggest temptation is when we are controlled by only our own struggles. We cannot see others. Now, I want to close with what Mahmoud Darwish said of one of his poets about think of others. As you prepare your breakfast, think of others. Do not forget to feed the pigeons. As you conduct your wars, think of others. Do not forget those who want peace. As you pay your water bill, think of others. Think of those who only have clouds to drink from. As you go home, your own home, think of others. Do not forget those who live in tents. As you sleep and count the planets, think of others. There are people who have no place to sleep. As you liberate yourself with metaphors, think of others. Those who have lost the right to speak. And as you think of distant other, think of yourself and say, I wish I were a candle in the darkness.
Let us stand and affirm our faith from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question 21. What is true faith? It is not only a certain knowledge by which I accept as true all that God has revealed to us in His Word, but also a wholehearted trust which the Holy Spirit creates in me through the gospel, that not only to others, but to me also, God has given the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation out of sheer grace solely for the sake of Christ's saving work. You may be seated. Now let us bring our offerings and gifts to the Lord. Thank you. O Lord, we dedicate these offerings to you, that we may think of others together as a congregation and provide help for those who need help. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.